Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
If nobody else loves you, I know I'm going to love you. I love people, amen. I love people. Let's go to the Word so we can all sit down. So we're going to go to Mark chapter 12, verse number 1. This is a very awesome parable that Jesus spoke about. And I love the parables of Jesus, because he taught us some things through these things, and it's just something that the Lord has revealed to me in the last few days. And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard, and set a hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine fat, and built a tower, and let it out to the husbandmen, and went into a far country. And at the season he sent the husbandmen a servant, that he might receive from the husbandmen of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him and beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast his stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and they killed him, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said amongst themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman, and will give the vineyard unto others. And have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and is it marvelous in our eyes? And they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew that they had spoken of the parable against them, and they left him and went their way. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for every person that's gathered here in your name. God, we thank you, Lord, for this place. God, we thank you, Lord, for your spirit. God, we thank you, God, that you've given us your word. God, as a roadmap of your heart, Lord. God, I'm asking you, Jesus, to reveal your heart to us today, God. Lord, help us to grow in you, Lord, to grow more in you, God, in faith. You said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, God. I'm asking you to move me out of your way, God, and help me tonight, Jesus. Help me today, Lord, to preach this word, God. This is all about you, Jesus. You get all the glory and all the praise, and everybody in here said amen. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah says this. Isaiah said, for my thought, God spoke to Isaiah, and he wrote this in his word. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Think about that. We cannot think like God. We don't have the capacity in our brains to think like God. God is infinite in wisdom, he's infinite in power, he's infinite in love, he's infinite in peace, he's infinite in all things. God is everything, amen. As the song that we just sung was, at what a God. I can't help but get excited when I think about what a God that I serve, amen. I can't help but get excited when I think about where he has brought me from and where we are going to. We are going home to a builder whose maker is God, or we're going to go to a place that's not made by hands. We're going to a place that will never fade away. This world will burn in a fervent heat, but we're going home to see him. And I'm going to sit at his feet, and I want to cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I want to be with him in his presence. I want to know him more in the power of his might. I want to know him. I want to have a relationship with him. And as Isaiah said it, our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. He's got so much more in plan. He's got so much more in store for us than we could ever imagine. If you sit back and you look at it, you say, I'll never be able to do that. You don't know God like I know God. You could sit back and say that I'll never be able to preach the Word of God, but you don't know God like I know God. Because if you knew me a couple odd years ago, you would know that God really can change somebody. Amen. If you would know me like I used to be, you would say, how in the world can God do these things? But who but God can do such things as this? So our thoughts are not like His thoughts and our ways are not His ways. Whenever He's talking in this parable, He's laying out a foundation of what has already happened. He's laying out a story that has already taken place time and time again. God sent a messenger to tell them, hey, get this in order, get this in order. Let's have fruit from it. This is all paraphrasing. Let's have fruit from this. The vineyard is ready. Let's go receive the fruit. And whenever the messenger would show up, they would shun him. They would turn him away. They would kill him. They would beat him. They would just move him out because they don't want to hear sound doctrine. But then in the very end, he said he sent his son. Man, I love this. Because who could send? What a loving God we serve. What a loving God that we serve. Amen. One of the most famous scriptures of all time, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, the whole entire world. That's every person in it, all of us. Amen. We are all part of that world that He gave His only begotten Son. His only Son, not like Darren was talking about this morning. He didn't give His second son. It wasn't His third son. It wasn't an adopted son. It was His only begotten, the only begotten of the Father. That's who came for us. Amen. That we all should not perish but have eternal life. That's awesome. That is awesome. So we've got a foundation that's laid out right here. And I'm not going to get to the latter part of this parable because I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go to 1 Samuel. I'm going to go to 1 Samuel 8, 1 through 5. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abia. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre. And they took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king. Now make us a king to judge us like the other nations. They needed somebody to be their leader. They needed somebody to step up to the plate, somebody to step up and say, this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to do it. Because most of us, all of us, in a sense, every single one of us, I'll not say most of us, every single one of us, in a sense, we all need a leader. We all need somebody in our life looking out for us. We all need somebody to help us to grow, to push us towards success, to push us towards the anointing of God, to push us towards the fellowship of God, to push us towards a servitude of God. Amen. We all need somebody in our life as a leader. So Israel was no different. They wanted a king. And Samuel's sons was not fitting the part. The judges wasn't going to work out. They needed somebody that they could look at. So the people pushed and pushed and pushed. But as Samuel went to God, he said, what are we going to do about this? And God said, you're going to have to satisfy the people. You're going to have to give them a king. You're going to have to let them have a king. Samuel was displeased at this request. He did not want this to happen this way because God, I mean, he already knew what was going to happen. The king that was going to come in was going to make slaves of everybody, or he was going to use the men. He was going to, this is paraphrasing. Y'all need to read this, but I'm going somewhere. They were rejecting God as their leader. They needed a man to look at. They was going to use a man to say, this is who's going to lead us. And they chose a man. They chose a man. Okay? Now God did not choose this man. The people did. Okay? Now I'm gonna do something out of illustration here. I'm going to ask my buddy Mike to come up here a second. Now listen. When they chose this man, they chose Saul. Okay? Stay right there. I'm going to go to 1 Samuel 9, verse number 1. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, son of Abiel, son of Zer, son of, another hard word, another son of a hard word, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than all the people. I could see this. I can see this. I like Mike. Mike's a good friend of mine. He's a big man. But I can see this. I can see that a man would say, I want this guy to lead me into battle. I need this guy to be my king. Surely, if we was to face war with somebody and they see him, they'll be afraid. Surely, if they see this man, because his stature is so big, he's so big, he just, this is our king. So they decide to pick Saul. But what Saul had was a flaw. There was a flaw in him, and I'm not trying to rap or rhyme. Saul had a flaw with his self. And his self was that his heart was not right with God. He had intentions that a man would have. This went to his head. This that he was now king, he was able to do things. He had power now. He was able to set things in motion that should have never been. He even goes to the point where he goes against the ordinances of God because Samuel was late. He decided that he was a man of God enough to sacrifice for himself. And this goes against everything that God has ever told anybody. So now God is wroth with Samuel, or Saul. He's mad with him. He's mad at because he's trying to take the law into his own hands. He's trying to guide the people with his own knowledge, with his own wisdom, with his own strength. God has nothing to do with this. And God is now upset with it. You can go sit down for a minute. God's now upset with this. He doesn't want somebody that's going to go against him. He's wanting somebody that's willing. Somebody that's willing to yield to the Spirit of God. And we could all see how the children of Israel could look to this man and say, that surely can be our king because he was a head and shoulders above everybody else. This is our king. This is the one that we want. But Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly, and thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee, for now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But thy kingdom shall not continue. This is what God tells him. This is in 1 Samuel 13. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people. Because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Think about that. You didn't keep the ordinance of God. But I'm seeking after a man that is after my heart. I'm seeking after a man that's not doing this for his own intention. I'm seeking after a man that's not doing this for his own glory. I'm seeking after a man that has got a heart on fire for me. And that has not changed. That has not changed. God is still that same God. Amen. He's not seeking after somebody that wants vainglory. He's not seeking after somebody that wants their name written up in lights. No, he's seeking after servitude. He's seeking after somebody that says, I have nothing else to offer you but a hallelujah. And he says, that's enough. I have nothing else to give you, God, but myself. All I have is this. And he said, that's enough. Don't have to, man, I love this saying and it's so awesome. He does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He qualifies the people that does not look like they fit the part. He calls the people that's out. Man, the person that he chose to be king, the people that, or the person that the children of Israel chose to be king was not really foolish. It wasn't in our eyes, it wasn't foolish. It wasn't like, man, is this really the guy? But yes. Yes. This is the guy that I want leading me because he's perfect for the fit. He's fit for the job. But God had different intentions. God had different intentions. 1 Samuel 16, verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul? This is after God has already rejected Saul. He's already done with him. He's like, that's it. Done. Seeing that I have rejected him from reigning over Israel, fill thine horn with oil and go. And I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king amongst his sons. And it came to pass when they were come. Come up here, Dustin. When they come, he looked on Eliab. Here's another stout-looking man. And Samuel said, surely this is him. Surely this is the one. But God said, nope, not him either. You can sit down. He does this 7 times. Hey, Taven, come here. He does this 7 times. He goes through this whole entire thing 7 times. And then he says, have you no more sons? Man, I've got one. I've got one, the youngest. But he's out taking care of sheep. He's not in here celebrating like we are. These guys was here for a sacrifice, man. This is a big deal. He's out here serving. He's out here being a servant. He's out here playing on his harp. Just a little guy. Look at this guy. Do we want this guy to be our king? Come up here, Mike. Let's do a stark comparison. Let's do a stark comparison. Now, I know myself, if I was going to war, if I was going to go fight with whoever the king is of this battle right here, guess who I'm picking? I'm not going to pick on the big guy on the left. It's not going to happen. I'm not no dummy. So I'm going to pick on this guy. But what I don't know, what I don't know is what is inside of this young man. What I don't know is what is inside of him, amen? The heart of God is what he's looking for. He's seeking after somebody to worship him in spirit and in truth, amen. He's looking for somebody that's got a heart after him, amen. I'm not going to stand up here with vainglory and think about what that I could do with the stature of my size. No way. I want to give all of it to God, my heart, my soul, my strength, because that's the greatest commandment, amen. And also he said, love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. So as David, stay up here for just a second. As David comes in here, think about the scratching of the head that Samuel was doing. I mean, he's already been through this once. They anointed this guy to be king over Israel. The people did. And God chose this one. Think about that. How many times has that happened to us? That I think it's supposed to go one way that I can see it. I could see this working out. I could see this being the right way to go. But man, God throws you a curveball and it shows up like this. And I'm not trying to take away from your, man, you're a good looking kid. I'm not taking away from you at all. This is a young man and he's on fire for God too. Amen. But God sees what's on the inside of a man more so than he sees what's on the outside, because this is how the scripture reads. He says, this is 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord looked unto, said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance nor the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. The Lord looks what's on the heart. I could see how we want to pick the greatest, the biggest, the strongest, the fastest, the mightiest. But man, that's not what God's looking for. That's not what God's looking for. He's not looking for somebody that's got it all together. He's taken the biggest misfits and he has led children, or he has led nations out. Think about what he did with Moses. Moses said, I can't even talk right. I don't even have clarity of speech, but he said it don't matter. Moses, I'm going to use you to make the biggest jailbreak in history. It doesn't matter. If you think for a second that God can't use you, you better start to know God. Because God can do impossible things with the littlest things. It don't matter what it is, amen? God can do impossible, what we think is impossible with our eyes. What we think that is impossible in us, God does the unspeakable things, amen? When you feel like you don't measure up, and it would be easy. It would be easy sitting here as Taven. Sitting as Taven, feeling like he's not measuring up. Because when you stand beside what was the king, when you stand beside what you had seen as your predecessor, how could he not feel insignificant? But you know what? What he tells them in a next story, fast forward, I'm not going to go into it in great detail, but when he tells them, he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine to divide the armies of the living God? Who is this guy? You don't understand who I got living inside of me. Because there was this one time that a lion came in, and this guy. Not this guy. A lion came, and this right here is what showed up. What showed up to protect his flock was this guy. But the power of God rose up in this guy right here, and it was enough. It was enough to defend the flock. It was enough when a bear showed up, the same thing. God's not looking what we see on the outside. God's looking for what is on the inside. God's looking for what's available, not what we could see with our own eyes. He's wanting availability from us. What are you willing to give God? You guys can sit down. Thank you. What are you willing to give God? If you could ask God to do one thing, one simple task right now, what would it be? What would it be? Just ask yourself, what would it be? You know that God can do it. The Bible says that there's nothing too hard for Him. Nothing is impossible with Him. Nothing. Man, we've got a God that has all of our needs according to His riches and glory. It's awesome. The infinite stuff that we can find in our Father. It's unbilling. It's the willingness for us to submit. The Bible says to submit yourself therefore unto God. Submit yourself therefore unto God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Resist the devil. You know how you get to look like Mike? It's resistance. You know how you get to build muscle? It's resistance. It's repetitive resistance. Over and over and over, repetitive. You build yourself up. You build strength. You build strength in resistance. Man, the more that you resist the devil, the stronger you're going to get in his mind. The more that you resist the devil, the stronger that you're going to have faith in God. We've got to stop walking by what we see. We've got to stop walking by what we think in our brain that this is going to work like this, because we've got to give God total control. Because in myself, no good thing is what Paul said. In me, there's no, but man, I've got a God that's living inside of me. I can't help but think about David when he stepped out on that battlefield. He said, this is a man that has been at war in his youth, but I don't care. You don't understand the power of God that's inside of me. He didn't have that dog in him, like what the saying said. He had that God in him. He had that living, breathing God that's alive and well, amen, and he's got all power. You know, if you started to look at this story without knowing the result, the end from this. If you started this story to think about that these two kings would eventually one day clash, you would think that it would end well for David. But man, it doesn't end like that at all. God has a way of working things out. He always does. The giants that are in your life, just give them to God. Man, I love what our pastor has taught us. He said, stop looking at your problem saying, look how big my problem is. Start looking at your problem and say, look how big my God is. Look how big that God really is, because he can really take care of you. He can take care of you from every single avenue, every single place of your life that's empty. Listen. I know what it's like to lay down at nighttime and to lay my head down on a pillow and pray what I'm feeling that I'm praying. God, don't let me die in this condition. Don't let me die like this. I know better. I was born and raised in church. I knew, man, I thank God for that. I thank God for raising me at a young age in a church. And even though I strayed, He still found me. He still got me back. But man, I know what it's like to lay down at nighttime and just be scared. Be afraid, man, don't let me die in this condition. Don't let me die like this. I know that there, man, but man, when you get God and you get this peace that just overwhelms you in the middle of it, don't matter what's going on, all things can be falling apart all around you, but you can still step up and say, my God is greater and He's worthy. in the middle of all of it, it don't matter what it is, God's still greater. He's got me by his hand, amen. He said it like this, those that the Father has placed in my hand, I'm not lost. Not one of them. Not one of them. It's not so much that I'm holding on to him, man. He's holding on to me. In my own strength, I can't do it. I can't win this fight. But you know what's so awesome about this? The victory ain't even mine anyway. The victory belongs to the Lord. You know, I can't help but think about like sports. I do love football. And I think about like Tom Brady. Tom Brady and Shane, blah, 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 blah. But Tom Brady's a great quarterback. And he's won all kinds of awards and he's done all this stuff. But man, you know what? One day he's going to stand before the same judgment that I'm standing before. And one day, it don't matter. I just threw that name out there. There's multiple. There's all of us. Every single person in this room. We're going to stand before God. And I'm telling you right now, I'm going to stand before him with a smile on my face because I know that his blood's enough. I know that his blood's enough. I'm not going to stand there with a trophy saying, did I do this? Did I do this enough? Did I get this enough? No, it's not about what I have done. I don't have anything to do with this. It's the blood of Jesus that's going to get me there. The blood of Jesus is enough to take me home, amen. I'm not going to stand there and tell them that I've done this and I've done that and I've done this. Man, there's a scripture about that. It says, have I not prophesied in your name? Have I not cast out demons in your name? Have I? Guess what? I'm going to sit there and say, you did this. I'll give it all to you. You're worthy. You're worthy. It's time that we stop making this about what we see with our own eyes. Stop thinking about what you see or what you feel. Don't go off of what you see or you feel. The Bible says it like this, 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. There's some times that, man, you just need to walk through it in the middle of a fight, in the middle of a battle, just go. Because guess what? You're not going to win it on your own anyway. You might get a good lick in every now and again. You might get something. Oh, yeah, I got this. I feel a little bit. But guess what? In the end of the day, my God's going to fight all of my battles. If I give my battle to him, I don't have to lose. I'm not going to lose, amen, because he is going to be my champion. Not what I have done with my own strength or my own power. I'm going to win because of who he is, amen. Amen. We walk by faith and not by sight. I don't want to walk by what? Or by my feelings, man. And you can get so messed up walking by your feelings. You can get so messed up, man. You don't know where somebody's headspace is at. And the reason that I say it like that is man, I try to be as welcoming as I possibly can to every person that I ever see. But man, if you shun somebody by accident, and that person said, well, he don't like me. It's easy. That's easy to happen. And that happens. Believe it or not. It happens to folks. They'll be like, hey, Johnny, how you doing? How you doing? Hey, how you doing, Dustin? And just totally blow by Gary, not even think twice about it. Didn't see him. And then you get this hang up. He don't like me. This happens more things, not just in this instance, but it happens with so much. We lose stuff because we look them with our eyes. We lose what God's intention is. What you might not have knew is that I might have been getting ready to grab that kid. He was getting ready to drop her. And you just didn't see it. You don't know what's happening. You don't know where somebody's at. So we got to walk by what we know. And the thing that I know is that God did this. This is his church. This is his way. This is his truth. This is his Bible. This is his power. Not anything of my own. This is all about him. And as long as I got that in my spirit, I don't care what else is going on because it doesn't matter. I want to be with him, amen. I want to lay those burdens down. He said it like this, many are the afflictions of the righteous. That don't mean you're not going to go through some stuff because you are. You are going to go through some stuff. I love how the pastor says it like this. He said, when you get saved, it don't make it berries and cherries because it doesn't. When you give your life to God, the only thing that it changes is now you've got confidence in God and not in yourself. You get confidence. You get this confidence, this boldness about you. Man, I'll never forget when God actually got a hold of my heart. I'll never forget that feeling. I'll never forget that, man. I was at the deepest despair that I thought that I could ever be in. But God reached down in my heart that I thought was untouchable, the heart that I thought was so much stone. He turned that heart into a heart of flesh, and He put His name. He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He called me His own. I'm a child of God, and I love Him, amen. I know what it's like to be lost, but I definitely know what it's like to be found, amen, because He truly is a Savior that comes after the lost. He really does search for you. If you don't believe that, just look, just open your eyes. He's already done it. You're not sitting in this church by accident. You're not sitting here by chance. It don't happen like that, man. God's got a purpose for every person. I fully believe that with all of my heart. Every single one of us has got a purpose in Him. Every person. Man, you think that your testimony don't mean nothing? Stop giving it. Stop giving it. Don't listen to that lie of the enemy. That's garbage. You better give your testimony, because you don't know who you're going to touch with it. You don't know how you're going to be able to talk, run across somebody at work one day and say, hey, I know what it's like to be lost, but let me tell you about a Jesus that found me at my lowest place. He found me in the darkest, deepest place in my mind that I was. I was so overwhelmed, so overcome with grief, so overcome with depression, so overriddled with anxiety, but yet He called me, and now I can stand up here and tell you that I'm not who I used to be. I am by far I'm not where I am supposed to be, but I am on my way, amen, because He's enough. He's enough. I don't have to have it all together. I don't have to have this thing just all neat and fixed and perfect. It's like King Saul. We don't have to have a King Saul. We don't have to have what we see with our eyes to fight our battles for us. God can fight for us in the smallest of these. Go back to my very beginning scripture. The stone. Have you not read the scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. Sam and I was talking last night. It was really awesome. He said that he has seen instances where they'll build a building of stone, and they will leave this stone in the corner out on purpose. They'll leave it out on purpose just to have a ceremony of installing this stone, which is pretty awesome. I mean, I don't know how they do that engineering-wise, but it works, I guess. But think about this. The stone that the builders rejected, and I asked him my exact words was, I said, man, how did you reject a stone? How is that possible? Because I'm intrigued by this. I mean, I don't understand the analogy that God was using. I don't understand it. I do a little bit more in depth now. This day and age, right now, we have the ability to X-ray rocks. And we can see if a rock has a crack in it that we can't see with our naked eye. But these stones that these guys was talking about, the stone that Jesus was talking about was just pretty much physically looking at the stone, seeing if this stone would fit in this particular place. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious folks of the world in that day, they had to already build a religion that Jesus did not fit in. They wanted a king to come riding in on a horse with a sword. They wanted something to come in and overthrow governments. They wanted something to come in and just make the church the most powerful entity that ever was. But guess what? He showed up and they missed Him. He showed up and they missed Him. The same stone that the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. Guess what? This whole thing that we are founded upon is on Jesus. Nothing else. Jesus is how I'm getting to heaven. That's my ticket. I'm going home because of Him. Nobody else. I'm not going home on anybody else's knowledge. I'm not going home because of who my family is. I'm not going home of who my heritage is. I'm going home because of Jesus. Amen? So the same stone that the builders rejected became the head of the corner. When they had tried everything that they could to make religion work, everything that they could, and Jesus come in and started making ripples, and they couldn't stand it, and they crucified Him for it. They crucified Him because of the good that He was doing, because it did not fit their agenda. The same stone that was rejected now has become the chief cornerstone. That chief cornerstone is Jesus to us. That is who we are founded upon. Musicians, you can come. That's who we are founded upon. I'm not founded upon somebody else's religion. I'm not founded upon somebody else's knowledge, like I said. I am founded on and through the blood of Jesus Christ. So, they couldn't handle Him, so they killed Him. They couldn't slow Him down, So they crucified him. They could not have control over him. That's what it's all about. It's all about they couldn't control Jesus. He would go and do his own thing. He's like, Sabbath day, Monday, Tuesday, don't care. You need healing? Come here. That's what he did. I would have been the same way. I would have been the same way. If I had all power in heaven and earth, I'd have done the same thing. I'm not going to let man stop me. And so the same way with him, he just didn't fit in their agenda. They wanted total control of him, and he was like, nope, not going to get me. Our thoughts are not like his thoughts, and our ways are not like his ways. He's got ways that are something, man, he can reach people in places that we could never think possible. You know, if you sit back and you close your eyes right now and you think about the person, one person that you think is the most lost, and furthest away from God, think about that person. He can save them too. He can save them just the same as he saved me, just the same as he saved you. He could save all. Because that's who he is. He's a good, good God. Amen. That's what he's able to do. I don't have to earn this. That's the best part about this. I didn't earn this. I don't deserve it for sure. It's nothing about what I've done under my own strength or under my own power. It's because of who my God really is. Get a relationship with him. Get a relationship. Know him. Know him more and more and more. And I tell you, man, we got some fantastic worship in this church, some fantastic Bible in this church, some fantastic preaching in this church. But that does not take away from what you do on your own. That does not take away what you do at your house, man. Because I'm telling you right now, I can ugly cry at home way better than I can in front of you. I can pour my heart out more when I'm by myself with him. And I sing. I can't sing. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. But, man, I sing away. When I'm with him, it's just me and him. I sing because I love him. I want a relationship with him. Man, Dustin Justice said to us years ago, he said, if you didn't talk to your best friend at all, ever had a conversation with him, how long would they be your best friend? It's just like my wife. My wife is my best friend. She is awesome. I love this woman. And if I chose one day to not talk to her, and she's going to be mad for one thing. She's going to be upset, but she's also going to be like, man, what's going on? What's the matter? She's going to try to pursue me and be like, hey, what's going on with you, hon? What's up? God does the same thing to us. He wants that one-on-one with you. He wants that fellowship. He wants that relationship to take place, man. When you sit down and you have a conversation with God, it's hard to tell what you're going to hear. And it's awesome. I love it, man, because this is so cool. And I'm going to be quiet. When you read the Word of God and you read a scripture that you've heard since you was a kid, and one day you open it up and you're just reading just to read and you're having conversation and fellowship with him, and all of a sudden he just goes, what's that mean? And he gives you a revelation like you've never heard preached before, that you've never heard taught before, that you've never heard it this way. And man, that's just awesome. That's just food for the soul, right? And it does me so much good. It does me so good to hear from him. Even when I don't have it all together, I still can hear from him. Even when I don't bring him my best, I try to give him my best. It's just my best. But his best is so much better than ours. His best is awesome. And when you have a relationship with God, let's all stand. When you have a relationship with God, things can change. Things can really change. You think that you've got a problem that's too big for him? Let's try him. If you think that you've got a mountain that can't be overcome, let's try him. If you've got a valley that can't be crossed, let's try him. So as they get ready to sing, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to the word that we've heard. We don't have to have it all together. We didn't pick this king out. This king came to us lowly as a servant. He came to us and he gave the ultimate sacrifice. He gave it all so that you and I could be the righteousness of God. That's incredible. That is a love that is unbelievable. It's all about him. And if you've got a need in your heart, if you want to come forth and let us pray for you, we'll pray for you. If you need to stay right where you're at and pray, let's pray. But by all means, pray. Get a relationship with God. Get a relationship with Him. Let's call Him. Let's call upon the name that is above every name, because I believe that you can really speak Jesus in the middle of your storm and you can watch things change. I believe that you can speak Jesus over chains in your life and you can watch them fall off. I believe that you can speak Jesus and you can see families be healed. I believe that you can speak Jesus and you can watch your life be changed in the name of Jesus.